This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. If you want picks for the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, you've come to the right place. Today, we're going to give out our five favorite favorites. We're going to give out our five favorite underdogs. We're going to give out our five favorite totals of the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament. Casey Hudson is also going to join me in the middle of the show for Model Making Money, talk a little bit of hockey, and then we'll give out our best bets for today during PJ's plays. We'll give out an NBA prop lock. We'll give out a play in the first four tonight, and then we'll give out a dog of the day for the first 2 days in the tournament. As always, we want to hear from you guys. Love shows like this where it's nothing but picks. We know you guys want some picks here. March Madness, best time of the year, best day on the sports calendar is tomorrow. We're going to give out a ton of picks. So any questions you guys have, let us know. Twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube.com/OdysseySports, or you can go to Twitter and Instagram at the BetQL app. Let's get this show rolling. Glasses in session. We're going to start with the PJ Pick 5 Favorites edition. And of all of the 32 games that we have in the first 2 days of the tournament, 16 tomorrow, 16 on Friday, my favorite game involving a favorite is going to be the Drake Bulldogs at minus 120 against Washington State. This is a 7-10 matchup. Drake actually opened up as the underdog in this game against Wazoo, but since then they've taken money and they have become the favorite. I agree with the line movement. I think they're the better team, and I think they're going to win the game. Wazoo's had an awesome season. Kyle Smith is a really good head coach. Wazoo's taken on kind of the identity of a slower pace this season, defensive-minded team. They have athletic big men. It's really worked out for them. Both these teams very good on the glass. So Washington State is more size, and they're more athletic, but for a mid-major team, Drake really does well on the glass. They have one of the best scorers, not only in mid-major college basketball, but in all the country, in Tucker DeVries. He's the head coach's son, Darian DeVries. I like Drake in this spot because it's a veteran team. They have a great score. They have a good big man in Darnell Brody as well. But last year, Drake played Miami in the first round of the NCAA tournament. We know Miami went all the way to the Final Four. Drake had them. They were up by 7 points with like 3 minutes to go in that game. Miami closed on a crazy run. But I think Drake wants to avenge last season's loss. Obviously, in that Missouri Valley Conference tournament with Indiana State in there, they had to play win-or-go-home type of game. So they're used to the pressure. They know what it takes to win this time of year. They got veteran guys that have been in the tournament before 2-3 times with DeVries and Brody. I think they're ready to take the next step and finally win a game in the tournament. So I like Drake on the money line, minus 120. I also like Gonzaga in the 5-12 matchup against McNeese State. I know a lot of people like McNeese State. One of the themes with a bunch of these 12 seeds is that they have very good head coaches, which normally the 12 seeds do, 13 seeds as well. You have Will Wade for McNeese State. You have Grand Canyon and Bryce Drew. You have Andy Kennedy for UAB. A lot of these 12 seeds, very good coaches who have coached at a Power 5 level. Will Wade being one of them. I like the Zags, though, in this spot. Everybody's throwing out all these stats and all these trends, and we're talking all these coaches. I haven't heard a lot of people mention the fact that Mark Few has been to 8 straight Sweet 16s. It is so hard. It's so easy, I should say, in the tournament when you're a consistent higher, lower seed, when you're a top 4, top 3 seed, to get tripped up in the early parts of the tournament. And Mark Few's teams have not done that the last 8 seasons. They made it to the second weekend. I like the way that their path sets up with them. Obviously, getting a banged up Kansas team as the 4 seed in their region, with McCullough now officially being ruled out of the NCAA tournament. I like the Zags in this spot. This is the kind of competition that they go up against in their league, in the WCC. We know St. Mary's is a very good team. San Francisco's a solid team. But a majority of these teams that they're playing are these mid-major caliber teams. McNeese State really hasn't played anybody in the non-conference schedule. We thought their win against Michigan at the time in Ann Arbor was a really good one, and then Michigan turned out to be the worst team in the Big Ten. So I'm still skeptical on McNeese State. They're very well coached, but so is Gonzaga. Zags are the much better team. They have a great big man in Graham Ike, who's been dominating for them here in the last month of the season. I like the Zags to win. I like them to cover, -6.5. Another 5-12 game I was talking about with another one of those great coaches, Grand Canyon and Bryce Drew. They're going up against St. Mary's, -5.5. I like the Gales in this matchup. St. Mary's is a team that I would keep my eye on in this West region, right? Everybody expects North Carolina and Arizona to kind of be on this collision course, but not many people remember that on UConn's run to the national championship game last year, their hardest game was St. Mary's. The Gales were winning at halftime in that game. Then one of their better players, Alex Tukas, got hurt, and it changed everything. UConn went on one of their second half runs. We've talked about the Gales throughout the week, how good of a coach Randy Bennett is, what a pain they are for people to play because of the pace that they play at, how disciplined they are, how good they are rebounding. They get to the free throw line. They got good guards in Mahaney and Marshallonis. I like St. Mary's. This is going to be one of the better games of the first round. Grand Canyon is ranked 53rd on KenPom. They are a very good team, but so is St. Mary's. I like the Gales to cover -5.5. I also like Bama -9.5 against the College of Charleston. You guys know, if you've watched the show, I'm an Alabama grad, but I love fading this year's team because they don't play a lick of defense. I look forward to fading them in the next round against the winner of St. Mary's and Grand Canyon, but I think for this specific matchup against College of Charleston, it's a really good one for them. College of Charleston is essentially the mid-major version of Alabama. They play at a fast pace, they shoot a lot of threes, score a lot of points, don't have a very good defense. That's not the kind of team I want to bet against Alabama. If you're trying to beat Alabama at their own game, I need like a Kentucky to do that, right? Kentucky, we saw, beat them by 20 and score 120 points. I don't want College of Charleston to do that. Bama's got too many athletes. They got too many good shooters. They got too much size for College of Charleston to deal with. So I'll take Bama laying 9.5. This game opened at 11.5, but everybody's just rushing to bet Bama. So it came all the way down to 9.5. But if you look at the matchup, I think it's a good one for Bama. This is also the healthiest that they're going to be in a while. Wright Sell's been banged up. Rylan Griffin's going to be banged up. Both those guys have missed time at different periods. They're going to be back for this game against College of Charleston. I'll take the Tide, -9.5. And then finally, the favorite that I like the best is going to be Nevada on the money line against Dayton. Nevada's top 40 in offense and defensive efficiency. Really good team. Steve Alford is the head coach for Nevada, and he's done a great job. Jared Lucas is their point guard, who has had some great moments in the NCAA tournament with Oregon State when they went all the way to the Elite Eight. I think the Atlantic 10 was a terrible league this year. Dayton, I feel for him because their best guard, Malachi Smith, is out for the year, and it could really change this team's trajectory heading into the tournament. But without Smith, they haven't been the same team down the stretch. I'll take Nevada on the money line against Dayton. Those are the 5 favorites I like the best in the first 2 days of the tournament: Drake, Gonzaga, St. Mary's, Bama, and Nevada. So those are the favorites I like. Let's take a look at the underdogs that I like here on Send It In. And we're going to start in the 8-9 matchup, getting things going on Friday, this Northwestern and Florida Atlantic game. Guys, this is the kind of game that I live for. If FAU didn't make the Final Four last year, if FAU didn't make the tournament last year. I don't even think they'd be a tournament team this year, let alone an 8 seed. A lot of love for FAU, who returns everybody from that Final Four team last year, except for one player. Their team is very different, though, this year than it was last year. This year, their defense ranks 108th in defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. Last year, they were 34. They were a really good defensive team last year, but this year, they just haven't put it together. They were a good offensive team last year, and they're still a very good offensive team this year. This game should be a pick 'em, though. These teams are about even, but because odds makers know that they're going to look at FAU and Northwestern, and people are going to remember FAU is that Cinderella team that made it all the way to the Final Four last year. The Big Ten the last 4 or 5 years has been notorious for being terrible in the tournament. Of course they're going to bet FAU at a short number, but all the value in this game is on Northwestern. I actually think they're the better team, and I certainly like them getting to 2.5. Maybe wait to see if you can get a 3, because this game is the first game on a Friday. So after Thursday, people likely are going to have a rough betting day, look to get some of that money back. First game of the day, they see FAU on the board, small favorite, and maybe that gets bet up to 3, but I'd take it at 2.5, maybe get a 3, 3.5, bet it again. I like Northwestern with the points. I like them to win the game as well. Then a 6-11 matchup that I'm on. Give me the Oregon Ducks plus 100 against South Carolina. Dana Altman, when we talk about all these really good NCAA tournament coaches, right? Tom Izzo, Bill Self, Jay Wright, all these guys. We don't talk about Dana Altman. But do you know who has never lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament? That would be Dana Altman, the Oregon coach. He's also 15-6 against the spread in the tournament as well. Really good tournament coach. There are some coaches in college basketball, Rick Barnes, Matt Painter, that build their teams for the regular season and have great regular season success and flame out in the tournament. There are other coaches like Tom Izzo and like Dana Altman who build their teams for the postseason. Dana Altman has one of the best big men in the country, Nafali Dante, the Oregon big man, and he's got two very good guards that I would keep an eye on, Jermaine Cousinard and also Shellstad as well. Cousinard is actually playing against his former team in South Carolina in the first round, so if you can look around for maybe some player props with Cousinard, I think that could be a nice angle going up against his former team. I like this Oregon team, though, guys. They had to win the Pac-12 tournament for them to get in. They did that. And now I think they got a nice little path here. If they can get past South Carolina, I know Creighton and potentially Tennessee are some tough games down the road, but the Ducks are not a team that I would want to see in your region. I like Oregon to win that game. Also like Morehead State plus the 11.5 against Illinois. Since 2019, the Big Ten Conference Tournament champion has not made it to the second weekend since 2019. Illinois, of course, just won the Big Ten Conference Tournament. Think about some of those teams that haven't made it to the second weekend, right? Iowa Keegan Murray team, Purdue from last year. We had that Michigan State team that lost to Middle Tennessee State. Bunch of these teams really good offensively, just like Illinois is. But Illinois doesn't play much defense. I think because the Big Ten tournament is the last conference tournament that we see, everybody tunes into that because they're ready for the Selection Sunday bracket reveal. Maybe we just put on those blinders of like the conference tournament. Illinois, I love their backcourt. I think Terrence Shannon and Marcus Domask is my favorite backcourt in the country. Two great closers that take the game over down the stretch. But this is the kind of game that would make me nervous because Morehead State's tempo is 335th. Out of 362 teams in the country. They're going to take the air out of the ball. They're going to use up the whole shot clock. They're going to make this a half-court game. And if Illinois' offense isn't hitting their shots, they could be in trouble. I'll take Morehead State plus the points. Oakland and Kentucky, we got videos all over social media of this game blowing up. You guys know how I feel about Kentucky. One of these teams, it's all offense and no defense. They certainly could blow out Oakland by 40, but history tells us teams like Kentucky don't make it to the Sweet 16 and that they certainly could get upset in the first round. So getting a plus 13.5 with Oakland, getting a plus 725 with Oakland on the money line, I'm absolutely going to take that. Another team that wants to slow it down. Kentucky is top 15 in tempo. Oakland is 262nd in tempo in the country. So they're another team that's going to want to slow it down. I'll take Oakland plus 13.5. And finally, the dog that my last dog I like is Samford plus 7.5 against Kansas. This is a bad matchup for Kansas because now that Kevin McCullough is out, That even hurts their depth even more. And Samford is a team that full court presses all 40 minutes. They're going to try and wear Kansas out. Obviously, Kansas has the size, athletic advantage, but they're not deep. They can't really shoot. And now they're without one of their best players, and they're going up against a team that wants the full court press for all 40 minutes. I think it's a bad matchup. I'll take Samford plus 7.5. Those are the dogs that I like: Northwestern, Oregon, Morehead State, Oakland, and Samford. Let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Casey Hudson on this Wednesday. Casey, always great to see you. What are the five-star plays BetQL has for us today?
In the NBA, and it's going to be the Celtics minus 10.5 versus the Bucks. Celtics are projected to put up at least 14.5 more points than their opponent tonight, and their head coach is 36-20 when it comes to the second half of the season successfully. So check out that five-star bet over on the BetQL app.
All right, very good. Casey, what about you? What are you looking to bet tonight? I know it's March Madness. I know we got some good NBA games, but something tells me you're going to the ice with your best bet.
Yeah, we're in that playoff push mode, and every game is counting right now. So I'm really liking how some teams are starting to stretch and produce really nicely in the second half of the season. But it's Kaprizov for the Minnesota Wild for me tonight to just pick up at least a point versus the Kings. He has a point per matchup, 15 points in 15 games, and he has been a pillar for his Minnesota Wild team. I thought Erickson Ek was going to be back by now, but turns out I read that wrong. He might be getting back into the lineup on Saturday, which means that the role and the need from Kaprizov is going to be huge tonight. I also like him for 3+ shots on goal. He's got 16 shots on goal in the last three games, 8 shots on goal 2.5 games ago, which just tells you a lot about how much he's producing. And then Ovechkin to at least pick up a point versus the Maple Leafs tonight. Maple Leafs defense still struggles even though they are offensively high-powered, and Austin Matthews and Nylander tend to get in there in the mix, but Ovechkin's just been tremendous for the Capitals as of late.
He's been tremendous, Casey, and so have the Caps. I mean, they were sellers at the deadline, right? They get rid of Kuzi, they get rid of Mantha, they're trying to rebuild, but Detroit keeps losing and the Caps keep winning, and now here we are, and Washington's only one game out of the wild card picture in the Eastern Conference. Detroit's hanging on to that last spot. Washington's a point behind them. So as of right now, who do you like to get that final spot? Caps, Red Wings, or somebody else?
Yeah, I was really concerned what was going to happen with the Caps after Mantha and Kuzi, but I have to say they started to get some other guys involved in the scoring. They've kind of sat below that 3-goal-per-game mark, but they're starting to creep right at it perfectly. So they've got one of the top defenses that really competes with the Flyers, somebody else whose defense I've been high up on this season thus far. So I think they have a really good chance at commanding their spot. They have a 3-hard-game stretch coming up here versus the Canes, the Jets, and the Red Wings, who are trying to fight them for that wild card spot, but the Jets already shut them out once. I think they'll get their revenge there. And the problem with the Red Wings is they're letting up way more goals than they are even scoring. So they're a team that could be pushed all the way through the third period, and they can tilt in the Capitals' favor at any moment. So I kind of like them to continue commanding their space. They have a better defense than the Red Wings do right now, and the Red Wings also have a very hard stretch coming up. So when it comes to the team that can actually pull through, I got to go with the better defense. I've got to go with the goaltending that showed up the most in the last 10 games, and that's the Capitals.
Come on, Casey. I like that. I like hearing that. Let's talk about the Predators. They are on fire as well. They're 8-0-2. In their last 10 games. So many good teams right now that are playing well in the West. Colorado's on a heater. Edmonton's playing well also. But here come the Preds playing really good. If we're looking for a sleeper team in the Western Conference, do you think Nashville could be that team?
Absolutely. None of us had Nashville marked as sitting top five in the West, and they've done so at such a great pace and in such a great style. They put the right pieces together at the right time, and some of their moves kind of made everybody think that they were going to be in slightly more of a rebuild mode heading into this season, but they're staying healthy, which I think a lot of us forgot how much their top players were injured over the last couple of seasons. So between health being on their side, between great goaltending in Saros and their defense really coming to life, and they have one of the best D-men in the NHL who used to play for the Tampa Bay Lightning, that's Ryan McDonough and company. So they're looking really strong out there, and I think they have one of the best defenses out West. They can easily jump above the Stars here in the next few games and kind of command the number 4 spot out West. So they're definitely one of the biggest sleepers out there, because the drop off between them, the Stars, the next team is the Kings, who have been very inconsistent after a lot of their road success earlier in the season.
All right, Case, before I let you go, it is March. We do have the first 2 rounds of the tournament upcoming. Let's hear your final 4, and then who do you have cutting down the nets? Who's your champion?
I don't know why, of all the things that we do work-wise, PJ, this is the most nerve-wracking part of the year for me. Picking the Final Four from March Madness, because it feels like I'm just being so basic. But I got to go with UConn versus Arizona and Houston versus Purdue. UConn's one of those teams that are coming close to being able to be back-to-back champions. I'm sure that that's been the headline for most people over the last week or so. Arizona, just, I always kind of throw them in the mix. Houston's defense is just incredible. And I think that when it comes down to it, defenses do pull off those tight contests. So those are my top four for March Madness, but we'll see where I lean by tonight.
All right. So that's your Final Four. Who do you have winning it all? It sounds like Houston might be your pick.
I wanted to lean Houston, but I actually took the Huskies, one of the most efficient offenses right now when it comes to college basketball. And plus, they've got two really good three-point shooters that can do massive work for them. And I've noticed how a lot of the teams that are heading into March Madness, where their weak points defensively tend to be going against covering those three-point shooters. So you got two guys, maybe even three, that can be extremely consistent in that element. And I know they have a tough streak ahead, but I think that those three-point shooters will end up doing the big work for them. So I've got the Huskies.
All right. I mean, they're the favorite for a reason. Best team in the country. We'll see if they can go back-to-back. Casey, always great having you on. Enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the hockey, the March Madness. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, PJ. See you next week.
See you next week. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5-star scale on its unbeatable analysis, from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys. So we gave out the favorites that we like the best. We gave out the underdogs that we like the best. Let's give out some totals that we like the best in the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament. We're going to start with my favorite total. It's going to be the under in UAB and San Diego State, under 139.5. I think this is just too many points. San Diego State, I've watched them a good amount here over the last month or so. Obviously, they were the national runner-ups last year, made it all the way to the title game. This year's team is still excellent on defense, but their offense isn't as good as it was last year, and their offense really wasn't that good last year. They're missing Matt Bradley from this year's team. Jaden DeLee is their best player. We all watched that Virginia game last night, and gosh, was it pain. I mean, we could have all told the committee that's what would have happened if you put Virginia in the tournament. Nobody wanted to see that team, and we got exactly what we thought we were going to get. I'm telling you guys right now, San Diego State offensively, it's not a pretty watch. They also can go through some serious scoring droughts. They can go through 5-6 minute stretches without making a field goal. And UAB is not going to shy away from physicality. Andy Kennedy builds his teams that way. He's got some SEC Power 5 transfers, so they don't mind mucking it up at all with the Aztecs. This game feels like it's going to be in the 60s to me, so I'll take under 139.5 in UAB and San Diego State. I'm also going to take the under in Samford and Kansas at 152.5. Told you guys I like Samford plus 7.5, but I also like the under in this game because there's going to be no McCullough for Kansas and because they don't have that much depth, and their big advantage in this game is their size, right? Hunter Dickinson is 7'1". He's going to be the best player on the court. If Kansas is smart, which I'm sure they will be because Bill Self is one of the best in the business, if not the best, they're going to slow this game down. Samford wants this game to go up and down. They're full court pressing. They want Kansas to try and get in a track meet with them, but I think Kansas is going to slow this thing down. They're going to try and make it as much as half court as possible, and they're just going to feed the big man with Hunter Dickinson because, again, Kansas really can't shoot all that well. They also don't have much depth, so if they get in foul trouble and if they're trying to get in a track meet with Samford, that's not going to work out too well for them. I'll take the under 152.5 in Samford and Kansas. I also like the under 147.5 in Morehead State and Illinois, another game that we talked about. I think this is correlated. If you like Morehead State, I think you gotta like the under in this game. I don't know how they're gonna be able to score with Illinois. A lot of times, these teams like Illinois, Kentucky, Alabama, that are great on offense but struggle on defense, when they get upset, it's lower scoring games, right? Because a bunch of these mid-majors aren't going to be able to beat these teams in the 90s. They don't have the firepower that these other teams do. So for them to pull the upset, they got to be great on defense. They got to hope that the other team has an off shooting night. And that's what Morehead State's going to do. They're going to rely on their defense. We talked about the fact that their pace is 335th in the country. It's one of the slowest. There's only 362 teams in Division I. So Illinois, they're going to want to go, go, go. One of the best transition teams in the country. When Terrence Shannon Jr. has a full head of steam in transition, forget about it. So I think if you like Morehead State, plus the points, you got to like the under. I think it's correlated at 147.5. I also like the over in Texas A&M and Nebraska, 146.5. A&M is a sneaky, good over team because they foul a lot. They also have a ton of offensive rebounds, so they get a bunch of scoring opportunities. And going up against Nebraska, who's a very efficient offense, shoots a ton of threes. If Nebraska's knocking down their shots, I think A&M is going to be able to score with them. We saw that A&M-Kentucky game was like 97-87. We know A&M can score with teams. When Wade Taylor's on, they're hitting their shots. Again, this is going to be a game with a lot of fouls. Nebraska's going to be shooting a lot of threes. I think we're going to get an over. I'll take 146.5 over with A&M and Nebraska. And finally, I'll take another over with TCU and Utah State at 150.5. A&M Nebraska is an 8-9 game, and so is Utah State and TCU. And a bunch of the times, I lean towards the overs in these 8-9 games because they're coin flips, they're one-possession games. Both 8-9 seeds tend to be teams in power leagues that can score but struggle a little bit on defense or don't have maybe the talent that some of these other teams do. And certainly Nebraska, A&M, TCU are out of some of these power conferences. Utah State won the Mountain West regular season this year, a league that has six teams in the tournament. So Utah State can play. What an unbelievable story this team has been, by the way. Danny Sprinkles in his first year as head coach didn't bring a single player back this season for Utah State. Not a single player on their roster played a minute for them last season. All they did was go 27-5 in the regular season and won the first Mountain West regular season title. Why did they do that? Because they can score, and they can score in bunches, but so can TCU. Best transition team in college basketball. I think there's going to be a great pace to this game. Think it goes up and down. I'll take over 150.5 in TCU and Utah State. All right, time to wrap up the show now with PJ's plays here on Send It In. Any questions, comments that you guys have for us, let us know and send it in to the chat here as we wrap up the show, giving out our best bets. Anthony Edwards absolutely cooking yesterday against the Nuggets. That was nice. Prop block, Bam Adebayo, over 11.5 rebounds at plus 100. It's going to be my prop block tonight for the Heat against the Cavs. Bam has grabbed 13 or more rebounds in four of his last five games. The total in the game tonight is at 203.5, right? Low NBA total. Both teams very good on defense, Cleveland and Miami. You expect there to be a lot of missed shots, a lot of rebounding opportunities. I know Cleveland's got a great front court, very good rebounding team, but Bam is a good rebounder in his own right. We're getting plus money in a game that's going to be low scoring with a lot of misses, and he's gone over this number in four of his last five. I'll take Bam over 11.5 boards. My stay away game is going to be Baylor and Colgate. We've talked about just about every game in the first round in the NCAA tournament. It feels like everybody's talking about every game. The one game that I feel like is not getting talked about at all is Baylor and Colgate. And for good reason, because I don't really have any thoughts on this game. Matt Langel, the head coach for Colgate, has done an excellent job. And Colgate did play a Big 12 team in the first round last year in Texas. So maybe that'll give him a little perspective. Maybe that'll help him out a little bit going up against another Big 12 team in Baylor. Baylor is the kind of team that potentially could get upset in the first round like this. Colgate's a tough team in the first round. They were up double digits on Arkansas in the first half years ago. Arkansas came back and won that game. They played Wisconsin in Milwaukee and took the Badgers down to the wire. Texas, they played pretty tough last year. So if I had to make a play, it'd probably be Colgate plus the points, but man, Baylor's just got dudes, and they can score. Scott Drew and company normally, for the most part, pretty good in the first round. They did lose a crazy 3-14 game years ago to Georgia State when RJ Hunter hits that shot and his dad falls off the chair. Other than that, though, Scott Drew and company normally pretty good in the first round. Think Baylor wins. Colgate probably covers. Line feels about right. I'm going to stay away. Dog of the day is going to be in the NIT. I know we're all excited for the NCAA tournament. I mean, you don't have to tell me. It's my favorite 2 days of the year. But don't sleep on the NIT and what great betting opportunities we have in some of these games, like Villanova and VCU. I am looking to fade teams that came in with high aspirations this season and just want their season to be over. And Villanova, I mean, come on. All the money that they spent in NIL this year, guys that they got in the portal, Justin Moore returning and Eric Dixon and all these different guys, and they didn't make the tournament. And now you think they want to turn around and they want to play in the NIT against VCU? Absolutely no chance. I'll take VCU plus 6.5. I'll take them on the money line as well. These are the spots we look for. NIT is a great motivation betting angle. Look for the teams that want to be there and don't. I think VCU does. I don't think Villanova does. Ryan Odom's in his first year at VCU. He wants to build that thing up. Villanova just wants their season to be over. Give me the Rams plus 6.5. And then my best bet is going to be in the first four tonight. I like Colorado on the money line against Boise State. It's going to be really interesting if Boise wins this game tonight. We saw Colorado State handle Virginia convincingly. If Boise beats a good Colorado team, I think that could be a good tell of maybe some things to come for the Mountain West in this tournament. Colorado is a team that I would look out for. However, if they do win, 11 of the last 12 years, I believe, 12 of the last 13, a team that has won in the first four has also won a round of 64 game. Think Colorado could be that team. They are my best bet on the money line. To recap, best bets for today: Bam Adebayo, my prop lock, over 11.5 rebounds. Baylor Colgate, my stay away game. VCU plus 6.5, my dog of the day against Villanova. And Colorado minus 160 on the money line against Boise State is my best bet. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. I'm going to be on You Better You Bet with Rob Brown, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you tomorrow for the best day of the year in all of sports. Can't wait. Enjoy the rest of the day. See you 1 p.m. tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks, and now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us, and school routines routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall, so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.